Yo.
Hello.
Let's start it from the top. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mayonaka Mixer, our anime podcast. I am one half of your host, Black Hole Players. Again, call me Black. And the second half will be Stininator.
That's me.
All right. We are going to be talking about anime from the day of Tuesday, May 15th. All right, let's just jump right onto this. The first anime we will be talking about will be Black Clover.
Black Clover.
All right, Stinator, why do you like Black Clover?
Black Clover. I guess I say I would like it because so far the story is pretty nice, and like the action scenes probably like what sealed me on it.
Does have really nice action scenes. I agree with that.
Yeah, like Asta is like, one of those young little shonen characters that you that people love to root for.
I will be honest, in the beginning, I believe the first episode, I was pretty sick of his screen. His energy was a little bit too much for me. I can admit to that, but he grows. He does grow on.
The first few episodes, you're like, God damn, shut up already.
I agree. I think I said it a couple of times too.
Like, it's toned down way down from that rough start, I guess you would say.
Oh, it mellowed out completely. Talk about a bumpy beginning, but now it's on pure cruise control right now.
Pretty much.
All right, so to give everybody a very, very quick summary of what Black Clover is about. Black Clover is about Asta and Yuno. They are basically orphanage children that were dropped off at a doorstep one cold evening and grew up in the orphanage. Both of their goals is to become the Wizard King. The Wizard King is basically the strongest mage in the world. This is a world full of magic. And in a world full of magic, of course, the strongest magic person is going to end up being a Wizard King. Both strive to do this, but both have different ways of having to go about it. Yuno literally was blessed with the gifts of magic. And so Yuno has an ability to use magic and use magic very well. His gifts are obvious to anyone who looks at him. Meanwhile, Asta actually has no magic. Pretty difficult to become a magic king when you literally don't have the first word in the title, magic. But nonetheless, Asta doesn't give up. Asta trains his body, literally training every single day to be able to use his skills that he ends up learning and use his ability, his agility, and use everything that he has in his body to basically try to even out and still shoot after his goal of becoming Magic King. Up to this point, we've had a roughly like 30 episodes, so we're not going to go through all of them, but we will jump into the most recent episodes and give you a recap onto that. So right now we are on a filler arc, and yes, I know filler. Everybody always runs when they see filler. They're like, oh my God, no more filler. But nonetheless, this is a pretty good arc for a filler. And so the episode that we start on, Asta and his Black Bull mate is pronounced Goshe, but I'm really bad on that pronouncement, so we're going to call him G for short. So Asta, G, and a old nun from the town that they're in are basically searching for missing children. Throughout the night, it seems like children are going missing, and it happens to deal with the weather that is going on. It's summertime, but for some reason, it's snowing mysteriously. And inside of the snow basically has, you can sense magic coming from it. So we knew something was wrong from the beginning. And Asta, G, and the old lady nun of the town basically go to investigate what's going on. They find the children that were missing in a cave and end up crashing into the bad guys, Neji and Baro. So, dealing with that, a battle begins, and Neji and Baro basically ends up losing the battle, with G and Asta taking them both out respectively. With that, Baro, as he is literally being restrained, uses his mud magic, creates a little small minion, and hits a button. Now, nobody knows what this button does, but I guess we're going to find out throughout the episode. And sure enough, we find out. basically this button is basically I guess a transmitter, and the person on the other side of the transmitter ends up being a person that Asta ends up finding out very closely about. The young lady is named Sally. Now, if anybody's watched the anime, Sally was part of the crew that caused the riot in the Capitol. And Sally's the young lady who literally wants to dissect everyone. That is what she does. That is her thing. It is creepy. I don't care what anybody says. Literally, all she thinks about is cutting up people. It makes my stomach turn. But nonetheless, it's what she does. The thing is, it's a bad matchup for Asta when fighting. Due to her ability, she creates a gel salamander, and the gel salamander is able to absorb magic. Now, Asta doesn't have magic, but Asta fights up close, and that creates a challenge to Asta when all he's hitting is gel. Not really much you can do about that when all you're hitting is a gel monster and it breaks apart. All right. I think I said that about right. Sounds about right, Senator.
Yeah, that's pretty much the episode.
So this battle obviously causes Astro problems. The tables are turned when Sally comes into the fray, and it causes problems. Sally then injects her fellow mate, Baro, and creates this creature of some sort, and it just... The whole battle's turn. Baro ends up becoming this mud monster. Now you have to deal with Sally and Baro, and you're just sitting there like, okay, how are these guys going to get out of this? You can't protect all the children you just found and take out these two crazy villains at the same time. So the battle begins to turn, and you're left with sort of that cliffhanger, next episode, what's going to happen type mode. And you're just sitting there like, oh my goodness, how is this going to work out for our heroes? But nonetheless, of course, something's going to be figured out. And I guess you'll find that out as next week comes on. Anything you would like to add?
I like the part at the beginning of the episode where that dude Baja. I forgot his real name, but yeah, he's Baja. Okay. He goes to like alert the Black Bulls about what's going on, and yeah, he doesn't have a good time with that.
Yes, he's like the worst messenger ever. Like, you had one job, dude, and you can't even get out the message, because we all know the Black Bulls are a pretty crazy bunch nonetheless. It's a reason that they're like the black sheep of the Knight community. They're pretty nuts. So yeah, again, you had one job and you can't even complete that, dude. Good luck to that.
Yeah, it was a pretty comedic moment. I enjoyed it.
Black Clover seems to blend in the comedy and the action pretty well. I think that's probably one of its strong suits when watching the anime, for sure.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like too comedic at times or too serious at other times.
Nope. Just enough to pull your mind away from the laughter and the action at the same time.
Nice little tightrope. Not many people can do it.
Very agree. That's probably what's making Black Clover one of those animes to keep your eye out on. I think we both recommend it pretty highly to everyone else to check it out. Trust me, it's worth the watch. All right, we're going to jump into the next anime. The next anime that we'll be talking about will be High School DxD. I know I know a little bit more about this, so you'll probably hear from more than Stinator on this, but I'll give you the quick breakdown of High School DxD.
Break it down. Right.
High School DxD is your classic high school ecchi anime. Now, if anybody that knows ecchi is basically about perverted moments, lots and lots of plot. When we say plot, we refer to boobs and sexual
innuendo. Just tell them the real. Just tell them the real. It's about tits and ass.
All right. I can't sugarcoat it no better than that. Basically, Stinator calls it what it is, and that's basically what it was. I was being nice about it, I know, but that is exactly what it is. It's an ass. You know what you're getting about this. But the one thing I could truly say about High School DxD is that over four seasons, it has created a pretty good storyline. And I was one of those guys that was shocked to see that the storyline end up becoming really good. And actually kept you curious. They've been able to give you your full gratuity of tits and ass but nonetheless kept a storyline that keeps you engaged. And I think that's why it's considered one of the more popular ecchi anime out there to this date. So with that, literally, there was a big change that just went on. For three seasons, High School DxD basically was done with one anime style. And now with the fourth season that just started this spring, it switched over to the light novel style. So the animation's a little bit different, and it caused a little bit of a stir in the anime community, but nonetheless, people were able to get over it. Me personally, I've gotten used to it now. It's only about 5-6 episodes in, but I'm used to it completely. So
quick question. With that,
yeah.
Quick question. When you say light novel style, like what do you mean by that?
Oh, excellent question. So animation styles have different I guess you would say, visuals. The animation style that was High School DxD was using was more of a hardline, more mature type one.
Mm-hmm.
When switching over to the light novel gives you more of a colorful, soft line. The characters look a little bit more younger than they did in the original first three seasons of High School DxD. So the light novel makes the characters look more young,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, having them still look like the, you know, the tits and ass part that everybody understands.
So it's more pretty now. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. We'll run with that. We'll run with the more clear for you, you know. But with switching over to the light style, there also was a slight deviation in the plot itself of the show. So there's a couple of things that the light novel went to that wasn't in the anime. So they do a pretty good way of summing that up with episode zero of this season. Episode zero basically gives you how the anime switches from what the light novel is and gives you all the recap right then and there so that you understand, okay, now we're doing everything from the light novel so that you can understand and catch up to that. And it does a pretty good way of adjusting to that. So with the light novel switching over, the fourth season begins with Issei in the Grimory house, basically going on a class trip. The class trip is to Kyoto. Now, the Grimory family is basically a full family of about 7 or 8 people. But due to this being a class trip, the vice president and the president of the Grimory family, which is Ries Konkono, who is the treasurer of the group, Jasper, who is a side character, and Akino Bay, yes, I said Bay, basically are not going on this class trip because it is for the underclassmen. So with the underclassmen going on this trip, unfortunately, the family is not at full strength. And with not the family being at full strength, what do you think is going to happen? Of course, they're going to get attacked. It's just natural that, of course, something pops off when they go on a vacation, right? So with that, Issei and the rest of the group gets attacked while being in Kyoto. They get attacked by the local yokai. And the local yokai is basically yokai standing for demon spirit, in a sense. And they are attacked by them. What you find out is that the yokai attack Issei and the group, but were basically attacking them because they thought that Issei and his group was there to cause problems. What Issei and his group finds out is that they weren't there to cause problems, and actually ends up basically helping out the group that attacks them. Their leader ends up going missing and is kidnapped from another group. The other group ends up becoming what we find out is the hero faction. And due to the hero faction causing all this problem, that was the reason that Issei and his group of friends were attacked. They find out from the leader of the yokai was kidnapped, and her daughter ends up being the one who tells them that and basically begs Issei and the Grimory family to help find her mother. So with that, a search begins. And due to that search, they end up having to fight the hero faction because they find out that the hero faction has captured the young lady's mother. So with that, a battle begins. Now again, the Grimory house is not at full strength. So with that, of course, not all their pieces are there. So the battle that ends up ensuing ends up basically falling by the wayside with all of the members of the Grimory family basically losing their respective battles. So the current episode is that fight going on, and we find out that literally everybody's overpowered. Since the hero faction are a group of humans, yet the humans have what's called, excuse me, what are called balance breakers. Balance breakers give them the ability to fight with various powers to power them up. And even though that they're human going against a bunch of devils and angels, they still have the ability with the balance breaker to even everything out. As the fighting's going on, Issei, who ends up being the default leader with their head not being there, ends up basically almost dying. And we find out that the guy that he ends up fighting, the leader of the hero faction, is fighting with a holy sword. Well, what do you think a holy sword does to a devil? You can imagine the pain that basically goes on. With that, Issei is almost defeated. But at the last moment, Issei finds, I guess you would call his inner strength in a sense. And basically is talked to by his previous, excuse me, his previous Red Emperor owners. Issei's ability, Issei's power is basically the Red Emperor Dragon. He basically uses a suit of armor that's in the form of a dragon that gives him super strength, allows him to breathe fire, and allows him to move around at quick speeds, along with flying. So with that, it allows him to... It's hard to say, because again, it's tits and ass, and it's to be blunt, but nonetheless, his ability is basically he loves boobs. And as he loves boobs, that's the only thing that powers him up. Literally, this guy summons a portal from a different dimension to summon boobs. Literally, this is how the episode ends. He summons boobs, and not just any boobs. He ends up summoning the boobs of his head household, Rias, in her underwear. That's literally how the episode ends. So when we say it's comic, it has this moment, and it's about tits and ass. Literally, it's about tits and ass at the end of the episode. So literally throughout all this fight, and somehow, some way, our main character Issei summons tits and ass. And literally that's how the episode ends. When I say I get so much joy out of him being him, it's a pretty funny thing. And he stayed his truth. He tells you in the beginning he wants to be a harem king. He wants to basically go out with all the girls. That's what he wants to do. And he sticks with that for literally 4 seasons. He stays the same guy. So, of course, the episode ends literally him being in a battle for basically the town, the city of Kyoto, and he's about to lose, and all of a sudden his inner strength comes from boobs. It doesn't shock me at all. But nonetheless, they leave it on the cliffhanger that I think is hilarious, and I can't wait for the next episode to see what other crazy things this guy pulls off. Yes, the laughter is real because it's a truly funny anime. You know what you're getting. They're not selling you anything else, but nonetheless, it still sells and everybody likes it. And it's one of those crazy things. It's a guilty pleasure, to say the least.
Why are you feeling so guilty?
I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth on that one. Nonetheless, I will be waiting for next Tuesday to watch it again. All right. Then there, do you have an anime you want to go over?
All right. Sure. Let's go over Lupin the Third.
Lupin the Third. Okay. This ought to be great.
Okay. So, like, they just released another season for this show, which is on its, I guess you would say 6, even though it's saying part 5 for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a Fujiko Mine series, which was its own little thing. And that was pretty great. So, like, with part 5, we got a more tech-savvy Lupin.
Mm-hmm. So, now, quick question really quickly. Who exactly is Lupin the Third?
Lupin the Third, he is the grandson of Arsène Lupin, a master thief.
Oh, so we're talking about thievery here. I like it already.
Yeah, this dude, stealing is in his bloodline, okay? So, he's just living up to the name, and he's doing it pretty well. With him, he got his crew, because obviously he can't do everything by himself. So he has his crew. He has a gunman. Fastest draw ever.
Okay.
His name is Daisuke Jigen. And then one of the oddest additions to his crew, he has Goemon Ishikawa, a samurai.
Well, we all like samurai, don't we?
Look. If you love swordsmen, you will love this dude, man.
We all like swordsmen. Who doesn't like a swordsman?
Look, his sword can cut anything.
That's what a swordsman's supposed to do. I like him already.
And then rounding out his crew, sometimes, whenever she feels like it, Fujiko Mine. She's a female spy, female thief. Anything you want her to be and everything you don't want her to be.
Oh, sounds like, oh man, talk about a trouble woman nonetheless. Sounds just like women. Can't live with them, can't live without them.
Exactly. So, like, this season is more of a, like I said earlier, more tech based. He's using more high tech stuff to do his jobs. And it's more like the older series were more episodic. This one has a more central storyline. And this week, this dude gets hired to steal a painting. So, you know, at the beginning, it's mostly like him and Jigen breaking in, stealing the painting. He goes to sell it and stuff. And turns out the painting is a real Picasso painting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's not what the person wanted, so. And that's not what Lupin expected to see inside the little safe where he stole the painting from. So he goes investigating. He goes investigates the painting and see what's behind it. And he tries to find out like why he was hired to steal this painting. So basically, he uncovers a little plot and stuff. It seems millionaires are stealing from museums. Like, how can you say this? The rich love being rich.
Yeah, I'm about to say the rich getting richer, it sounds like.
Yeah, the rich love being rich, so they're not going to pay for sure when they can steal it, you know?
Exactly.
So basically, that's what that is. And this is all in the background of, well, this is the foreground for this episode, but in the main storyline for the season, it seems like there's a bigger target that Lupin is after.
And okay.
And he's stacking up pieces so he can get to that, which it hasn't been revealed what he's going after right now.
Well, he is a master thief, so you know he has to have his eyes set on something.
Yeah. So that's pretty much how this week went down.
Sounds like Lupin's planning for something big, and I'm pretty sure watching this season, oh yeah, he'll get what he wants. That again, being a master thief, you get normally when you go after something, you get what you want. That's just what master thieves do.
Yeah. I mean, Zenigata, the ICPO, Interpol agent that always chases after him won't like that, but what can he do? Can't stop him.
Right. What's a good master thief without a good detective trying to figure out what's going on?
Yeah. that's Zenigata for you. He's always on his tail.
Well, we'll see if that cat and mouse game is becoming good, but Lupin the Third has been a pretty popular anime for a while, and I've always looked at it as one of those shows. It's like, hey, once you start watching it, you're always going to like it. if Lupin does his job correctly, he's never going to get caught. But of course, he's always going to have people that think he's going to get caught. Nonetheless, that's the cat and mouse game you get when you are a master thief and you are a detective. It happens. But I guess part of watching it is to find out will he ever get caught, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been caught a few times, but can you hold on to him once you catch him? That's another story.
Exactly. And that's what a master thief is. All right, so let's see. You know what? I'm going to keep this anime in my back pocket for now. There will be one more anime that we will introduce, but we won't introduce it today. But one thing I would like to do is, while we have both of these anime minds on the same cast, same podcast, that is, I would like to at least recommend a couple of anime for new people to check out, for people that basically are trying to get into anime and possibly listening to us. And just, you know, hey, what can I watch? Or, hey, I got a weekend off. What should I binge that would be pretty good to check out? So, Stimator, off the top of your head, is there anything new that people should check out? Or maybe a classic anime that somebody could finish over a weekend that you could recommend?
If you're looking for a weekend anime, let's see. I have to drop one from my top five.
All right.
Probably Jormungand.
Okay. We talked about Jormungand in our first podcast, but Jormungand basically is an adult anime. When you say adult, there's lots of guns, there's lots of violence, there are boobs, there are ass, it's there. But nonetheless, it's a pretty good anime. I've watched it. I enjoyed it. It was really good.
Yeah. What's your weekend anime?
Ah, oh, man, if I had a weekend off and I was trying to binge something that I've never seen, you know what? I want to pick one that's sort of out of the left field. It is called Mariah Nikki. Mariah Nikki, a.k.a. Future Diaries. Mm. Yes, Future Diary is about a young man who basically ends up getting thrown into a survival game. Literally, the objective of this game is to kill somebody and take their diary. Diaries in this world consists of their phone, in a sense. Their phones happen to be able to do different things for each person. And the objective of this survival game is to kill and steal diaries until you are the last one that is alive. Now, everybody that's ever watched the show knows that it's not even about the main character. It is about
Yuno Kasai.
When we say Yuno, Yuno is considered probably the craziest chick in anime I've ever watched. Talk about being love strong at its finest. This woman is flat out nuts. She literally kills people for this guy. He's not that important in my mind. He was never that important, but she literally is that crazy enough to kill people. This girl has no special powers. There's nothing crazy, you know, there's nothing off the wall about her. There's nothing like, no. She's just so love-struck in that she is willing to kill people just to get the attention of this guy. And literally the one name that I can never stand to this day, Yuki, when she says it, it's the most creepiest thing in human history. I kid you not. But yeah, you thought you had a bad girlfriend in life? Oh no, you've never met a bad girlfriend until you missed this girl. And the animators and the writers do such a good job of making you actually care for this girl, knowing that she's batshit crazy. You actually care, and it's terrifying, yet it makes for excellent television. So if I had an anime to binge, I would surely binge Future Diary for the roller coaster that it puts you on, for the memorable character that you'll never forget about, you know, and just for the actual storyline itself. I think it's a good 26 episodes, but trust me, once you're in episode 2, you're in it for the long haul, I promise.
Yeah, it gets you hooked pretty quickly.
It does. It does. I think episode 2, I was in it. I was in it to go. So nonetheless, yes. So our two anime to recommend for people that are binging or just have a weekend off, Jorgamon and Mariah Nikki Future Diary. So, nonetheless, those are two great anime. Trust me, we wouldn't steer you wrong with that. Both of them are a little bit more for the mature side, so we have to be honest. So, it's, you know, one of those things, maybe don't want to watch around your little kid brother or sister, but if you're watching it, you'll enjoy it and you'll be like, oh my gosh, these guys didn't lie to me when they were talking about these two anime. All right. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of our podcast. Tune in to us within the next couple of days and we'll be updating more anime. And look out for us on the weekend, because weekend is one of the crazier days for anime, and two of the most popular anime out, My Hero Academia and One Piece. And of course, we're going to review those too. So till next time, we catch you guys after midnight.
We'll Go be on. Back.